Today's daf is Vochim Daf Samachay, and we're at the Mishnah, the second Mishnah on Daf Samach Dalet Amid Beis. So the first Mishnah on Daf Samach Dalet Amid Beis discusses the halachas of Chatos Oif. The second Mishnah on Samach Dalet Amid Beis discusses the halachas of Oilas Oif. So most karbonis that were brought were behemos, stating that there were karbonis that weren't behemos, rather oifos. Do we even karbonos that were menachos? How would a person bring a carbon that was a knife? So, if it was a nedava, the Torah says right in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra, if someone's menadev a carbon oila to Hashem, he could bring it menabehema. If it's menabehema, it could be menabakar or menatzayin. Or, if he chooses, he can bring an inferior animal, he can bring it menaif. Another way to bring a carbon that was an oif was if somebody did an aveira, which required a carbon oil of a yoreh. So depending on the financial status of the Baal Aveira, that would determine the value of the carbon that he was bringing. If he can afford to bring an animal, he would bring an animal. If he couldn't afford to bring an animal, he would bring Shnei Torim or Shnei Bnei Yoina, two birds. If he couldn't even afford birds, he had the option to bring a mincha. Then there was an idea of an oil of a yoreh that wasn't related to an Aveira. A mitzayra, depending on his financial situation, could also sometimes bring Shnei Torim or Shnei Bnei Yoina. Or Yeledes, a woman that had a baby that was bringing a carbon to Hashem, also had the option to bring Shnei Torim or Shnei Bnei Yoina. Regardless, although most karbonis that you learn about in Masechta Zvachim and Menachos and Seder Kachim, Teres Koyanim, Parshas Vayikra, Sefer Vayikra are discussing behemos, there are certain animals that discuss oifos, and really the Gemara now, through the next perek, perek Chatos Oif, is going to go into the details of exactly how a carbon that was an oif was brought. So the truth is that we're up to the second Mishnah, which discusses Oilas Oif, but being that there are nuances that the Gemara is going to discuss between the way the Chatos Oif was brought and the Oilas Oif was brought, it's kedai to just quickly see the first Mishnah. It's a short Mishnah of Chatos Oif, and that will segue into this morning's daf. So the Mishnah says, Chatos Oif, Ketzad Hayanas, exactly how was the Chatos Oif brought? So the first thing that every child knows, the first difference between the way a behema was brought as a carbon and an oif was brought as a carbon, is that whereas a behema was brought with a maisa shchita, an oif wasn't brought with a maisa shchita, but rather with a maisa malika. And it's a very big chiddush, because really, oifos that are chulin, if you want to eat it, you want to eat chicken, you don't do malika, you do shchita. Shchita is machsher behemos chulin. It's also machsher oifos that are chulin. Being that shchita is machsher behemos chulin, it's for that reason every behemah of kachin also required shchita. That's the essence of shchita lavavoydehi. The whole purpose, the whole function of the shchita when it comes to behemas kachin is really the same function that it serves with behemas chulin. Stating that an oif, although oifos of chulin required shchita, but oifos of kachin were prepared differently. They were prepared with malika. And the difference between shchita and malika, besides for technically the way it was done, is number one, shchita was done with a keli. Malika, as we'll see, wasn't done with a keli. It was done with the fingernail of the kohen. Additionally, shchita lav avoidehi, as a result, it was kosher bazar. Malika's an avoidah, and as a result, it had to be done with a kohen. So, hoya malika yisroisha, mi mularp, it was done from the back of the neck of the bird, the inay mavdal. And he had to be sure not to be mavdal. This machlekes Rashi and the Rambam had to learn the Einoi Mavdo. Rashi learns, Einoi Mavdo means that whereas Shchita ordinarily means Shchita's Beis Simonim, you have to shech the trachea and the esophagus, you have to sever both of those pipes in order for it to be rendered a kosher Shchita. When it came to the Chatas Oif, there was a halacha of the Einoi Mavdo. In fact, the Torah says, V'lo Yavdo. You're not allowed to be Mavdo completely. One simen, but not two simonim. We'll see, the Oilas Oif was different. Umazim Yidom Al Kira Mizbech. Then the Koyen would take the Oif itself, there was no Kabbalah, there was no Klisharis. He would go to the wall of the Mizbeach and he would do a Zrika. But as opposed to a regular animal, where the Zrika was done from a Klisharis, here the Zrika was done directly from the Oif itself. What about the Shirayim? After the Zrika was done, Shiari Adam Hoye Mismatze Al Yesoid. This too is different than a Behema. Whereas a Behema had a mitzvah of Shvicha Shirayim Al Yesoid, here too the Shirayim went to the Yesoid, but it was through a different Avoida. It was an Avoida of Mitzoy. Fact is, Machoikas in the Gemara, we're going to see towards the end of the daf, whether the mitzui of the chatas was ma'akev, or the mitzui was not ma'akev. Shvicha shirayim, according to most Tanoim and Shas hold, was not ma'akev. There is a shittas from Nechemya. There are some shittas scattered around Seder Kachim that hold shvicha shirayim was ma'akev. But the conventional wisdom is that shvicha shirayim wasn't ma'akev. This equivalent thereof regarding a knife was a little different. It wasn't shvicha shirayim. It was mitzoy. Mitzoy is the kohen would take the bird and he would literally crush it, squeeze it against the wall that would cause blood to ooze out. The elam is beach el adama v'kula l'kohanim. And famously, there was no haktara seimurim when it came to the chatas ha'if. The chatas ha'if was completely nechal, which is in stark contrast, as we'll see, to the oilas ha'if, which was, like all oilas, completely consumed by the mizbeach, v'kula l'kohanim, and it went to the kohanim. Zokt the mishnah oilas ha'if, ketzad nasis. How was the oilas ha'if brought? So we just quickly chazered the mishnah regarding chatas ha'if. What about the oilas ha'if? Olo l'kevesh, the kohen would go up the ramp upon the ha'if, and he would turn onto the ha'if. That was the ledge that allowed the Kohen to do avoida lemaylo michot ha-sikra. Bolei the Kohen Dreimus Mizrachis, he would come to the corner of Dreimus Mizrachis, and that's the lekatchila place for him to bring the oilas ha'if. There was a Mishnah on Daf Samech Gimel Amin Aleph where the Mishnah said there were three things that happened al keren Dreimus Maravis lemata. There were three things that happened al keren Dreimus Maravis lemaylo. One of the things that happened lemaylo was the oilas ha'if, but if you remember, the Mishnah said kishihi rabba b'mizrach. It was only when there was too much going on in Mizrach. But the lekatchila place for the oilas ha'if to be brought was Keren Droimis Mizrachis, which is also a little bit of Chiddush. Why is it a Chiddush? Because what was unique about the Keren Droimis Mizrachis? That was the one corner that there was no Yesod. Which is interesting because the Gemara said that Tchilas Oila needs Yesod. Remember, the Gemara thought maybe it's learned out from a pasuk, and then the Gemara said, "Lamali cross farahu." I know it from a kal v'chaymer. Madach shirayim of a carbon chatos needs yisoid. So kal v'chaymer tchilas oila, that's ma'akiv, that's machaper, certainly should need yisoid. And here you have the oila saif that was dafka done in the corner of the mizbeach that had no yisoid. There's a shtickle from the Brisker Rav in Hilchas Maaseh Karbonos where he speaks out super duper lumbus to explain it. He says that the whole idea of Tuni Yisoid is related and makes sense when things were being done lemato michot ha-sikra. But being that the Oilas Ha'if was being brought lemayla michot ha-sikra, so you can't connect what's going on lemayla michot ha-sikra to the Yisoid. And as a result, it was shayich to do it bekeren dremes mazrachis ayin sham. Phenomenal lumdus. But either way, so the Kohen would be on the soivev because he's going to be lemayla michot ha-sikra, and he goes to the one corner that has no Yisoid, keren dremes mazrachis. He did malika umavdol. So this is the first chiluk between the chatas ha'if and the oilas ha'if. So by the chatas ha'if, the Mishnah said ve'inoy mavdol. He had to be careful not to sever the second simen. When it came to the oilas ha'if, umavdol. To the contrary, he had to make sure, he had to be careful, yes, to sever the second simen. Umitzah es dom al kira mizbeach. And then he would do mitzah. He would take the oila and he would squeeze it on the wall of the mizbeach and the dam would come out. And this is the second chilek between the chata saif and the oila saif. Because by the chata saif, the Mishnah said, first, umaza mi dom al kira mizbeach. He would do a zrika, not from a klishares, from the oif itself, and then the shiore hadam hoyim nesmatze. Over here, there was no hazah. He went from malika straight to umitzes dom al kiram mizbeach, but we weren't done. Not alas aroish. Then he would take the head, the hekev base malikasa milizbeach. Rashi says he would push the head of the oif very, very hard on the mizbeach, and that would cause more dam to come out. Vesofke b'melech. Then he would take the head and he would soak it in salt. Vezarkel gabi ishin. He would throw the head of the oif into the fire. He would burn it. It's an oil, it's going to be completely burnt, but it's going to be burnt in stages, as we'll see. So first he burns the head, bolei the guf. Then he went to the guf of the oif, the heser es hamurah v'sanutza. He would remove the murah. The murah is the crop. That's the way it's translated in English. It's a little sack inside the bird that's like near the esophagus, near the digestive system of the bird. See, he would take out the murah and the nutza. The Gemara will say what nutza means. That's bnei me'ayin, hayoytzev imam, v'shlich le'beis hadeshen. He would burn them on the beis hadeshen. Shisa. Then he would cut open, he would slice open the guf of the bird. So he already burnt the head. Now he's busy with the bird. He would cut it, but he wouldn't cut it into two pieces. He would just like tear it open so he could take things out. Then Hivdil, if he did by mistake sever it into two, kosh, it's okay. Seifke b'melach, he would take the guf, he would soak that in salt, v'zorka gabi ishin, and then he would burn it. What if he didn't do everything he was supposed to do? For example, he didn't remove the murah, that's the crop and the nutza and the bnei meayin, or v'loy sofke b'melach, or he did soak it in salt. So what's the halacha? So the following rule of thumb, pun intended. The halacha is that any shinui that the kohen does in the seder avoda of the korban oila that happens after the mitzui hadam is kosher. So being that these things were supposed to be done after the mitzui, so it's going to be kosher. And the reason is because the mitzui hadam of the korban oila is the equivalent thereof of the zrika of a regular behema. And just like the zrika is what's mechaper, it's what's ma'akiv, but anything that happened after the zrika with the regular korban, such as the aktaras emurin or the shvicha shirayin, those things are ma'akiv. You can't have a machshava papiselis when you're doing those things. We don't really care what happens. It's shari mitzvah, it's a katchila. I mean, we care on the katchila level, but we don't care on the bidyavid level. We don't care on the ma'akiv level. The same is true when it comes to the oila saif. Anything that happened after the mitzui hadam is going to be kosher. So those things all happened after the mitzui. Being that they happened after the mitzui, it's going to be okay. Hivdol b'chatos, v'loy hivdol b'oila. So the Mishnah had said, the previous Mishnah, that when you brought the chatos oif, you were only supposed to sever one of the two simonim, not both. The einoy mavdol, and it's really based on a pasuk in the Torah. By the oil, it's just the opposite. Umavdol, you have to sever, you have to knock out both of the simonim. So what if you did fakert? Hivdol b'chatos v'loy hivdol b'oila. The halacha is pasul. It's going to be pasul. Why is it pasul? Because that's a shinoi that happened before the mitzui. Any shinoi that happens before the mitzui, before the equivalent thereof of the zrika, renders the oif pasul. If it happens after the mitzui, then it's going to be kosher. Mitzui is dam haroish v'loy mitzui dam haguf. What if he did mitzui for the dam haroish, but he didn't do mitzui for the dam haguf? That too is going to be pasul. Mitzui dam haguf v'loy mitzui dam haroish k'sheira, that's going to be kosher. And what's the svara for that? The svara for that is what the Mishnah said, because the Mishnah said that the mitzui happened in two stages. First he did mitzui with the guf, and then afterwards he took the head and he pushed it very, very hard against the Mizbeach. Which mitzui is ma'akiv? Which mitzui is the equivalent to the zrika? It's the first mitzui. It's the mitzui of the gof. So any shinui that happens after the mitzui of the gof is fine. So if you didn't do the mitzui arosh, so that's like shiori mitzvah. That's going to be okay. But if you didn't do the mitzui of the tamaguf, that's like not doing the zrika. If you didn't do the zrika, of course it's going to be possible. Now the Mishnah continues and discusses different halachas regarding chata sa'if and oiva sa'if. And everything that we're going to learn from now until the end of the Mishnah, which is going to take us onto Daf Samachem and Aleph, is going to be chazar. Because the same principles that apply to behemoths apply to oifas. So for example, we know that a chatas Shaloi Lishmas, the first Mishnah in the Masechta, is possible. A chatas of Shaloi Lishmas is also possible. An oila Shaloi Lishmas is kosher v'li alu l'bailam l'shem chayva. An oila sa'if is also going to be kosher v'li alu l'bailam l'shem chayva. The laws of pigal of chutzlas manay and chutzlam kaimai, karev amatuk in mitzvasai, you have to be mechashev in a kezayis, achil an aktara, they are mitzdarif, they're not mitzdarif. All those halachas, some of the Mishnayas that we spent a lot of time in earlier in the Masechta, they all apply to the oifas, just like they apply to the karbanos. And the Mishnah here is going to really take us down memory lane and go through a lot of these halachas that we've already spent a lot of time on. Zok the Mishnah, echad chatas oif, chatas oif, she molka shalei lishma, chatas oif, where the malika was on shalei lishma, or mitzah dama shalei lishma, or the mitzah was on shalei lishma, lishma v'shalei lishma, oilish shalei lishma v'lishma, or it was done lishma and shalei lishma, psula the halachas, it's possible. And the reason is because chatas shalei lishma is possible. What about an oil soif that was brought shalei lishma? So there the halach is ksheira ubilvad shalei also the bailim l'shem chayv. Echad chatas oif, echad oil soif shemolko v'shemitza es domon lechol dove shadarka lechol ulahakte dove shadarka lahakte. Somebody brings a chatas oif or oil soif and he did the malikoy or the mitzoy and he did it with a machshev es pigol lechol dove shadarka lechol ulahakte dove shadarka lahakte chutzlas manu, what's the halacha? Like a regular carbon pasul, but the aim by garis chutzlas manu, what's the halacha? Pigol the chayav and all of karas. If somebody eats the basar of a carbon pigle, he's chayav karas. Ubovat Yaakov amatik mitzvasa. Okay, so what does Yaakov amatik mitzvasa mean? Kmolak b'shtiko. If he did the malika without a machshava of psol. Umitza hadam chutz lezmanoi, and he did the mitzah with a machshav as chutz lezmanoi. Oishemola chutz lezmanoi, or he did the malika chutz lezmanoi. Umitza hadam shtikra, he did the mitzah without a machshav as pigol. Oishemolak umitza hadam chutz lezmanoi. Zeu shakarva matikim mitzvase. The definition of karva matikim mitzvase is that the kohen did an avoda with a machshav as pigol. But the only thing wrong with this carbon was machshav espegel. There wasn't an additional machshav apiselas, meaning it wasn't in addition to the chutz lezmanai, also a chutz lezmanai. Or in addition to the chutz lezmanai, there was a shaloi lishma. All there was chutz lezmanai in this carbon. If that's the case, then it's a machshav espegel. That's the definition of karev hamatir kimitzvah. It's not kimitzvah, so we're discussing pigel. Obviously, something very, very wrong went down. But In addition to the machshev is pigled, there's nothing else wrong, and that's the requirement in order for a karma to be pigled. Ketzad loy karva matik mitzvasei molak chutzlim koymoy umitzadam chutzlizmani oishem molak chutzlizmani umitzadam chutzlim koymoy oishem molak umitzadam chutzlim koymoy. Or chatas ha'oyv shemolka shalei l'shma. Or if it was a chatas and it was brought shalei l'shma. Umitza adam chutz lezmanoi. Oy shemolak chutz lezmanoi. Umitza adam oy shalei l'shma. Oy shemolak umitza adam shalei l'shma. Zeh shalei karva matik mitzvasa. Because over here, in addition to the chutz lezmanoi, there was also a chutz l'mkoymoi. Or there was also a shalei l'shma. If there's another machshav apiselis in addition to the chutz lezmanoi, even though there was a machshav of pigle, it doesn't matter. The karva is not going to be pigle. Because in order for karva to be pigle, you have to have karv hamater kim mitzvasa. Lechol gezayis bechol. What if the Kohen had in mind to eat a kezayis of this carbon chutz lezmanoi, but he also had in mind to eat a kezayis chutzim koymoi? So it was bachutz, which is chutzim koymoi, and lemachar, which is chutz lezmanoi, or kezayis lemachar chutz lezmanoi, kezayis bachutz. As in chutz lezmani, or kechatzi zayis bechutz, kechatzi zayis lemacher, kechatzi zayis lemacher, kechatzi zayis bechutz. The halacha in all these cases is possible. They ain't by car. It's the same idea because it's loy kareva matter kimitzvasis. Even if he had a full kezayis of chutz lezmanoi in his machshava, but he also had a kezayis of chutz lemkoymoi, and chutz lemkoymoi shters chutz lezmanoi. It renders it a loy kareva matter kimitzvasi, and as a result, this carbon isn't going to be amar. Rabbi Yehuda said it's not so simple. Zeh haklal in machshavas hazman kodmon lemachshavas hamokim pigol v'chayav and all. Of course, if the machshavas hazman came before the machshavas pigol, then it's going to be pigol. The only time there's a loch of loy kareva matter kimitzvasi is v'machshavas hamokim kodmon lemachshavas hazman. If first he had the machshav of chutz lemkoymoi, and then you had the machshav of chutz lezmanoi, it's dafka over there where it's going to be pasul the ein by kars. So this sheet, this Rabbi Yehuda was discussed earlier in the Masechta. It was one of the more difficult dafin in Masechta Zvachin, but the Gemara discussed, went into great detail of exactly what sheet this Rabbi Yehuda was. Rabbi Yehuda says a chiddush that the only time there's halach of like karva matikim mitzvasei is the first you had the other machshav. So first you would have a machshav of chutz lemkoymoi or chatash loy lishma, and then you would have chutz lezmanoi. So then the halach is that the chutz lezmanoi wouldn't make the carbon pigle. But at first you would have the machshav of chutz lezmanoi, and then you would be mechashav chutz lemkoymoi shaloy lishma. That would be pigle. What if lechol kechatzi zayis ulahakta kechatzi zayis? What if a koyin had a machshava to do a kezayis chutz lezmanoi, but it was a tziruf, it was a combination of haktara and achila, a half a zayis of haktara, half a zayis of achila? The halach is kosher. She'ein achila v'aktara mitzdarfin, because achila and aktara are not mitzdarf. So you can't go through a mishnah like this, even though the topic of the day is really oyla sa'oif and chata sa'oif and some of the technicalities of the hakrava, but so much shaloi l'shma, so much pigle, you have to speak out one ha'ara. So just one ha'ara that we didn't speak out, yeah, just one, in the beginning of the Masechta, maybe two, that regarding a very fundamental shaila of shaloi l'shma. So we know that halacha is kol azvachim shenizbuchu shaloi l'shma k'sherim ela shaloi alu l'bayim l'shem chayva. It's the first mission of Masechta Zvachim. Meaning, all karbanos, with the exception of a chatas and a pesach, if you had a machshav of shaloi l'shma, which is defined as either shinui kodesh or shinui bailim, the halacha is it's kosher, meaning you can continue bringing the carbon, you can eat the basa, you can be machted emurim, you can do the zrika, you can do it, all the mitzvahs with the carbon. However, so if Reuven said, he brought an oila, now the kohen brought the oila with this machshava of shaloi l'shma, so the halacha is that Reuven's going to have to bring another oila. This oila is loy alu l'bailim l'shem chayv. Stating that, the Gemara said, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, the very first Gemara in the Masechta, that Rava was medayik, it says, kol azvachim shenizbuchu shaloi l'shma kasher ela. Why did it say Ella? Why did it just not say V'loy alu l'bayim l'mashay chayim? Rashi says, didn't Rav say in the beginning of Masechtas Pesachim la'ulam yishana adam l'talmide b'derech kitzara? Derech kitzara would be V'loy alu, not Ella shaloy alu. It's an extra word. It's one word, but it's an extra word. Ella shaloy alu l'bayim l'mashay chayim. Why Ella? Says the Gemara, the Mishnah is telling me halach, that you would think that if someone brought a carbon with a machshava shaloy l'shma, so once you thought shaloy l'shma, maybe you can continue to think shaloy l'shma. So you're bringing an oila. The shechita was brought l'shem shlamim. So at that point, you could do the kabbalah l'shem shlamim also, l'shem asham, l'shem shlama, the carbon. Kamash malan elo shaloy olu l'bayil l'shem chayva. But as it relates to everything else, there's a halacha, you cannot have a machshava of shaloy l'shma. Stating that, there's a fascinating shaila in the achroimim. In fact, it was a machloikis between the Briskerov and Reb Chatzka Lebramsky. They traded letters, as we'll see in a moment, and they discussed this shaila. When Rav said in Zvachim Da Beza Min Aleph that an oila that's brought shalei l'shma, that's kashav alei olu l'bayim l'shem chayva, the halacha is that even though you had a machshav of shalei l'shma, it's also continued to think shalei l'shma. Is that only true for shinui kodesh, or is that true for shinui bayim as well? Meaning, that's pashat achreinim understood. That if an oila was brought l'shem shlamin, b'shash chita, now b'shash kabbalah, you can't continue to think l'shem shlamin. You have to think l'shem oila. Al zen nema the first gemara, that just because you had a machshava shalei l'shma by the first avoda doesn't give you a right to continue to think shalei l'shma. But what about shinui bailam? Is there a problem if you would think shinui bailam in the second avoda or not? Meaning a kayen is bringing Reuven's carbon, and he had a machshava shalei l'shma. Whether it was shinui kodesh, shinui bailam, that's not the point. Now, the halacha is, this carbon is kosher, but v'loy olu l'bailam l'shem chayva. It's not going to be oila for Reuven anymore. Being that it's not going to be oila for Reuven, say, yesh shloima, Reuven's not the bailam. If Reuven's not the bailam, then maybe now the kohen, when he does the kabbalah, can have in mind that he's bringing it l'shem shimon. It's not going to be a shinui bailam. Because shinui bailam is where Reuven's the bailam, and you're having in mind shimon. But once the halacha of this carbon is kosher, so it comes out Reuven's not the Bailam. It's not oila for him anymore. So if it's not oila for Reuven, Reuven's not the Bailam. So maybe there's no halacha anymore of shinui Bailam. So maybe the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Beis Amud Aleph is only discussing the halacha of shinui kodesh. Maybe it doesn't mean shinui Bailam, because once it's like oila Bailam Shem Chayvah, there's not kind Bailam anymore. And this was Reb Chatzka Lebramsky's argument. He wrote it in a letter to the Briskerov. Briskerov wrote back to Reb Chatzka Lebramsky and he told him, "I disagree with you. I hear the lumdis, very geschmack, but I don't think it's emes." And he had a raya, one raya. So this is the Briskerov. I mean, he is the mora of kachim. So he scans kachim. Do I have a raya to this halacha? And he had one raya from a gemara mesechtes nazir daf memva. The gemara over there is discussing, we know a nazir bashlamas nizirusai had to bring three karbonis. He did it tiglachas, and he was done with his naziris. The halacha is emgilech al achas mishloshtan. It's okay, right? It's not ma'akiv to bring all three karbonis. One carbon, whether it's the oila or the shlamim or the chatas. Once he brings one carbon, he can do his taglachas. He's not going to be a nazir anymore. The gemara over there discusses what would be if the kohen that was bringing the shlamim, that's what the gemara is discussing, the kohen that was bringing the shlamim for the nazir had a machshava of shaloi l'shma. Is that considered a hakrava for the nazir, that the nazir could be megaleach now on the hakrava of that shlamim and complete his naziris? It's a mefurish gemara. The gemara says yes. Taina to briskerov. If you're going to tell me that once a carbon is brought shaloi l'shma, being that it's loy olu l'bailam l'shem chayva, so the bala carbon is not considered the bala carbon anymore, so it's not the nazir shlamim. If it's not the nazir shlamim, how could he be megaleach? How did he complete his naziris? A shlamim shaloi l'shma is kosher, but it's loy olu l'bailam l'shem chayva. There's no exception for a shalmi nazir. Of course it's loy olu l'bailam l'shem chayva. And that's the chiddush of the Gemara Daf Mem Vav in nazir, that even though it was brought shaloi l'shma, still it's considered a hakrav of a shlamim as it relates to this halacha, as it relates to the idea of Hashlamas Naziros. But if you're going to tell me loy olu l'bayim l'shem chayva means like Reb Chatzka Lebramsky understood it to the extreme, as nidok haim bayim, and as a result you don't even have the halach of shinui bayim anymore, and you could be mashana, the kohen could think l'shem shimon, it doesn't belong to Reuven anymore. If that's the case, if it's not Reuven's carbon, then in this case it shouldn't be the Nazir's carbon. That means the Nazir didn't bring a shlamin. The Nazir didn't bring a shlamin. What's the hava mina? It should work for him. So the Briskerov said, "Mezem mifurish lahedya that carbon is shaloi l'shma havi carbonei shal Nazir." And he says, clearly the lumdus is that even though it's le'alu l'bayilam shem chayva, and this bala carbon still has a chayv to pay up, but the carbon that was brought is his carbon. I mean that it's his carbon, he's the bailam. If he's the bailam, it's poshut, said the Briskerov, there would be a shinui bailam. This is a fascinating letter, incidentally, that the Briskerov wrote to Reb Chatzka Abramsky, because apparently The Briskerov wasn't doing well at the time, and Reb Chatzko Abramsky begins his letter, you know, asking the Briskerov how he's doing. He told him, I heard you're doing a little bit better. So it's just interesting. B'negei libriyusi. So the Briskerov writes back to him, as it relates to my health, Amnam tzotka hashmua sheshama hadras goyim meirochik, kishavti lebesi. The rumor that you heard, Reb Chatzko lived in London. So what you heard in London, that I'm home, I'm not in the hospital anymore, is true. Aval davineni, loyli iri ulavidasi. Although I returned home, but, you know, I'm not back in my regular form. Rak, the only reason I went home is because they told me in the hospital they can't really help me now. I mean that they can't help me, so they gave me rishus to discharge me. But I'm literally at home, I'm in bed, I'm not doing well. As a matter of fact, Biskarov says that the situation has gotten worse. I never expected it to get this bad. Then he writes to him, Skrov says, I got a letter from Chaim Moiser, who told me that there's a doctor in Leipzig who's a big mumcha for the machla that Skrov was suffering from. He writes letter in the letter that he was suffering from asthma. And he said that Chaim Moiser told him he knows a lot of people that went to this doctor and they had tremendous yeshuas. The problem is the doctor moved. He's not in Leipzig anymore. He says, Achshav koisavli b'shem harav Ragaznitsky me'ir hanav. So there was a Yid Ragaznitsky who lived in Leipzig who wrote me a letter and he told me he thinks the doctor that Chaim Moiser is referring to is Dr. Adler, who recently moved to London. So he told me to look into seeing if we could track down this doctor in London. So Skorov writes to Reb Chatzko Abramsky, you live in London. So if you can do me a toiv, you can try to find this Dr. Adler. He says, I'm not really sure what he can do for me because I'm not going to London and he's not coming to me. This letter was written in Brisk in 1939. It wasn't written in Yerushalayim. This was written in Brisk. But the bottom line is, he tells him that, you know, he's not really sure if he can help him. Bottom line is, it's a fascinating letter. At the end, he writes to him. He apologizes. He says that I'm not writing the letter myself. He says, I can't write. I'm too weak to write. Somebody's writing it for me. And then he tells him that Chaim Moiser told me that you're trying very hard to help me. And, you know, with my refuahs, he gives him a grace yashakayach. Bottom line is, but as it relates to the Lundus, that's what we need. We need the Lundus. The Lundus is this Shaila that an that's why all of the Bailam the Shem Chaiva doesn't mean that now the Bala Karban is the Bailam? Nafkamina, there would be no problem of Shinui Bailam heretofore? Or no, Biskrov said, of course he's the Bala Karban. And his one raya from the entire Seder Kutchen was actually from Seder Noshim. It's a Gemara in Nazir Daf Mem Vav, where the Gemara says that if the Shlomim was brought Shalai Lashma, by Shlomas Nazirusa, the Kutchen. The Nazi was able to be Megalech, because if it wasn't his Shlomim, there's no way in the world he'd be able to be Megalech. There's a part two to this. If we have time at the end of the daf, we'll get into it. Tanu Rabbanon, a Sunday style daf on Friday is a little tricky, so we'll see. Tanu Rabbanon, Vehekrivoi, Ma Talmud Loim. So the Gemara is now going to go through some of the details that were discussed in the Mishnah with regards to the Hakrova of the Oyla Saif. And really, in order to really get this Amid, you need to know two things. Number one, Teresh of Iksav. You have to be really familiar with these psukim in the beginning of Parshas Vayikra. You have to be familiar with the anatomy and physiology of birds. So, I'm not sure we could check off any of those boxes. But the bottom line is, we'll do what we do. Tanu Rabbanon. It says, Ve'ekrivay ha-koyein el ha-mizbeach, the entire pasuk first. U'malak es roishay, ve'hikter ha-mizbecha, ve'nimtza damay, al-kir ha-mizbeach. It says, Ve'ekrivay, matam ha-doymer, L'chur, it didn't have to say v'ekrivoy. L'fish and Amar, it says v'hikrim na'atayrim oymin b'nei yoyno. You know, whenever you find oifos being brought as karbonos, you always find two. Tayrim b'nei yoyno, certainly with regarding the oylo v'yoyre. So yachal, I would have thought ha'misnadiv oif lo yivchos mishnei preidim. So I would have thought that even an oylas nedava, you need to bring at least two. It has to be shnei tayrim or shnei b'nei yoyno. How do you know that one bird is okay? It's for that reason, Talmud Loima, the Ekrivoi, it's a Lashon Yachid, that Afilu Preda Achas Yavi. Even one Preda is going to be enough. El HaMizbeach, it says El HaMizbeach. But it says Ve'ekrivay HaKoyen El HaMizbeach. And really, it could have just said Ve'ekrivay El HaMizbeach. Why does it have to say El HaKoyen? Ma Talmud Loimar, HaKoyen, L'kfaya L'kayen, to teach me that Malika has to be done with a Kayen. Why would you think Malika doesn't have to be done by a Kayen? I thought all the Avodas were done by a Kayen. So tomorrow, of course. Sheyoch, Valoidinu, I would have made a Kaval Chaymer. Ma Ben Sain, Shekaval Eitzaf, and Le Kaval Eitzaf, and Le Kaval Eitzaf, Ma Doch, Oilas, sign, an oila that's being brought from a behemoth, which is kachi gedashim, and as a result, it has a din tzafa. That loch is, you don't need a kayin. Shchit is ksher bizar, because shchit al avavayde, he oif shalay, kavalay tzafa, and ain't a din shalayik for like kayin. So an oif that doesn't have tzafa, and I would think certainly doesn't need kayin. Talmud loymar, el hakayin, likvay aloy kayin. That's why the Torah has to emphasize the krivay hakayin. El amizbeach, don't think malika like shchita. Is ksher bizar? No, shchit is ksher bizar. The malika is not ksher bizar. I would have thought that when you do malika, the kohen should use a knife. V'dinu, and it makes sense. Kal v'chei ma in shchita shalei kavale kohen kavale kli. Ma the shchita that doesn't have a din kohen requires a kli. Malika she kavale kohen in a din sheyik v'lo kli. Talmud loy mar kohen umolak. It says ve'krivay hakohen umolak. The smichos between the word hakohen umolak teaches me that it's done with the kohen himself. Atzmoy shel koyen, and there's no kli. Amar Rabbi Akiva b'chisala al daitcha shezor karv legabi mizbeach elamat hamel loymar koyen. Rabbi Akiva explains the drasha shetehi malika ba'atzmoy shel koyen. So the fact that it says koyen and then it says umalak, Rabbi Akiva added a nice element. He said that why did the Torah have to say that malika has to be done with a koyen? So the Gemara had said, because I would have thought, oh, just like shchita. Is kasha bizar? Maybe malika should also be kasha bizar. But Tainas Rabbi Akiva, there's a fundamental difference between shchita and malika. Shchita was done in the azara. Malika was done on the mizbeach. And a zar wasn't allowed to go near the mizbeach. So being that a zar can't go on the mizbeach, so shouldn't it be pashit that it has to be done with a kayin? Why does it have to save a kayin? The emphasis of kayin is not that the kayin has to be the one performing the malika, but the emphasis of kayin is that the kayin's doing the malika with his guf. It's atzmei shel kayin that's doing the malika, as opposed to there being a sakin yachayim lekena beim mata beim mata. I would think that you could do the malika lemaila michot hasikra or milmata michot hasikra. So who is the part of the mizbeach that the oil was supposed to be brought? It was Karen Duraimus Mizrachis, right? We said amazingly it's the part of the mizbeach that Dafka doesn't have Yesoy. But I would thought you could do it either Mamalo, Lamata, Tamaloima, Umalak, the Hector, Mahaktar, Bereisha Mizbeach, Af Malika, Bereisha Mizbeach. So it has to be Bereisha Mizbeach, which doesn't mean literally the top of the mizbeach, but it means on the Soyvev. But you have to be on the mizbeach, on the upper part of the mizbeach, as opposed to doing it milmat umalak. When the Torah says umalak, what it means is mimul oirif, the back of the neck. Ato emi mimul oirif or yenel milat safer. Maybe it means the front of the neck. We do shchita v'dinu, and doesn't it make sense? Never kan umalak, never lahalun umalak. Malahalon mimul oirif, avkan mimul oirif. L'chura, it says umalak by the chatas, and it says umalak by the oila. And just like umalak by the chatas means umimul oirif, so too umalak by the oila should mean mimul oirif. But the Gemara says, I don't know if you can learn it from there, because imalahalon. It's a different type of malika. The chatas, he's moilik v'nei mavdal, as we saw. By the oila, he's moilik umavdal. Talmud loymar umalak v'hikter. Just like the haktara, as the Mishnah described, was done in two phases. There was the haktara of the roish and the haktara of the guf. They were done separately. Af malika roish la'atzmoy v'aguf la'atzmoy. So we learned that malika severs the animal, and it's done in a way where the guf is la'atzmoy and the roish is la'atzmoy. Minayin shaktara sa'roish ba'atzmoy v'aguf la'atzmoy. Ha gufa. How do you know that the haktara of the oila was done in two phases? How do you know that you didn't just take the whole life and burn it on the mizbech? How do you know it was roish la'atzmoy guf la'atzmoy shenema v'hikter roisay ha'reaktara sa'guf. It says twice Akhtara, and the two times that it says in the Torah Akhtara teaches me the two parts of the oif that had to be burned. It says Vinimtsa Domoy, and we learn from there Kuloy. All the dam needed mitzvah. And this is in contrast to the chatas. The chatas was done in two parts. First there was a hazah, and then there was a mitzvah. The shiori adam was the mitzvah. The mitzvah in the chatas oif is the equivalent of the shvichas ashirayim. Whereas by the oila, all there is mitzvah. It doesn't say in the Torah anything about hazah. So the v'nimtza damai is kuloi. It doesn't say mi damai, it says damai, all the dam. Al-kir ha-mizbeach, v'loi al-kir ha-kevesh, v'loi al-kir ha-hechol. V'eze, zekir ha-elyoin. It's the upper part of the wall. Oye, eni al-kir ha-tachtoin. V'din hu, ma behem ha-shachat ha-salamai lo'i la-salamata. Doesn't it make sense that the oila slave should be lamata n'chot ha-sikra? Why? Because ma d'chachat ha-behema. Where the behema is lamai lo'i n'chot ha-sikra. The oif is lemato. Oif shechatosoi lemato. Inu din shay losoi lemalo. A chatos behema is lemalo. Yet the chatos oif is lemato. So an oilas behema which is lemato. Certainly the oilas oif should be lemato. Talmud loymar umalak vehikter v'nimtza damay. Umalak then vehikter, then venimtzadama. It sounds like first you do the malika, then you do the haktara, and then you do the zrika, the mitzvah. Is there a havamina? First haktara, then mitzvah? That's kachin 101. First you do zrika, then you do the haktara. Elo leim lecha ma haktara b'roish ha-mizbeach. Af mitzvah b'roish ha-mizbeach. It's coming to teach me that the mitzvah had to be similar to the haktara. And just like the haktara was done b'roish ha-mizbeach, so to the mitzvah had to be done b'roish ha-mizbeach. Even though mikal v'chomer, you would think that if the oilas behema is lamata, certainly the oilas ha'oif is lamata, but you have this hekesh that teaches me, do me the haktara, I mean that the haktara was lamayla, so the mitzvah had to be lamayla as well. Ha-ketzat, what was the setup? Our mishnah, ha-ya oila b'kevesh, u-poyma le-soyvev, u-bolei le-kein, dremes mizrach, ha-yamay le-kesroish, u-mularka, u-mavdil, u-mimatzen, midoma, al-kira mizbeach, im-asa, lamata miraglo. If, however, says the braisa, expounding on the Mishnah, if the Kohen would bend down and he would do the mitzui underneath his feet, afilu amma, up to an amma, ksheru would be kosher. What's the svara? He's standing on the soivev. Underneath one amma is still the maila michut hasikra, because the chut hasikra was the exact midway point. So 5 amas from the ground is where the chut hasikra was. 6 amas from the ground is where the soivev was. So there's one amma that's the maila michut hasikra, it's the upper part of the mizbeach, that if the Kohen is standing on the soivev, is actually underneath him. So the whole Tanai says the Tanakama in this Braisa, that the Oilas Oiv be Lamaila doesn't mean Lamaila from the soivev, it means Lamaila from the Chot HaSikra. So it's actually possible for the Kohen to bend down and go underneath him to do the mitzvah. Im asol lemata miraglov afilu amek sherev. Lechem Rav Lazar Yaakov Oimim, no. Kolas meinasis elo b'roish ha-mizbech. It had to be lemayla misoivim. May b'inayim, abay rov, damit shravayim, oysa marocha, al gabi soivim, kiminah. Naf kiminis, could you do make a marocha? Could you do the haktara on the soivim? The condition that says that the oila had to be lemayla michot ha-sikra is that the oila had to be brought, the mitzvah had to be done samach to the makam haktara. So if the makam haktara is on the top of the mizbeach, literally al gaga mizbeach, so then you would assume that samach means at the very least on top of the soivev. But if you can do the marocha on the soivev, so the makam haktara is the soivev, then it makes sense, abay v'rava d'amri travayu, that you should be able to do the mitzvah underneath the soivev, as long as it's lemayla michot hasikra, because despite the fact that it's beneath the soivev, it's still samach v'nira to the makam haktar. The tnai is samach l'makam haktar. So if the makam haktar is the gagam mizbeach, then it makes sense, tain is abay v'rava, that the mitzvah should have to be done lemayla min hasoivev. If, however, the makam haktara is al gabe soivev, then it makes sense that the mitzvah could be done beneath the soivev, lemayla michot ha-sikra baloi legov tanu rabbanu v'heisres murasoi binutzas. So one of the things the Mishnah said was is by an oilas oif, the Kohen had to take the murah, we said that's the crop, and he took it binutzasa. What is that? What does binutzasa mean? Zu zefek. So the crop is the zefek, we said that's that sack that's near the esophagus, near the digestive system of the bird. I would think that has the Kohen take it, he removes it surgically. Right? He goes in and he takes it out without making too big of a mess. Talmud Leib Ben Utsasa, which the Tanakama understands means the feathers of the animal. If you're taking the feathers, it means you're not just going in and taking it out, but rather you're removing it from the outside with the feathers that are surrounding it. Rabbi Yosef ben Chanan Omer, that noitza means something else, doesn't mean feathers, but rather noitla v'noizel kurkabana ima. It's a part of the animal that has the digestive food. Rashi says nutza zol dover mos, that's usually what it refers to. And over here, the digested food that's inside the oif is a dover mos, that's what nutza means, and that's what the pasuk means. V'heser es murasa ben utzasa, that you should take the murah, take this crop together with that chazarai. V'ver b'shmol tana, benutzasa benutza shala. No, benutzasa means with its feathers. Kodro besakin kimin aruba. What it means is, made a little bit of a hole around the area, like a very, very, you know, surgeon, an incision was made, and you removed kimin aruba like a window. So without making too big of a mess, you take out the murah together with its feathers. Shisa veloy hivdol. It says shisa. Then the koyin would slice open the guf of the oif. Tanu rabbana b'shisa ain't shisa el b'yad, with its hand, not with a sakin, with its hand. V'cheinu oimer v'yishaseu k'shasa hagdi. So that pasuk is by Shimshon Agiva. It's one of the psukim that talk about the supernatural strength and power that Shimshon HaGibor had. So it says that he ripped up this animal like somebody would tear up a gdi. Shimshon did it with his bare hands. So we learn from here that when it says in the Torah Vishisa, it's like Vayishaseh or Keshesa Agdi, it means with his bare hands. Lo yeser es hamura zokti gemara masnisin the lake Rabbi Lazar Reb Shimon. So the Mishnah had said that by a chatas oif, when the Kohen did Malika, so he had to make sure not to be Mavdol. What does it mean not to be Mavdol? He only severed one of the two Simonim, but not the second Simon. In fact, the Torah says, V'lo Yavdol, you're not allowed to be Mavdol. The Oila is just the opposite. The Oila, you're supposed to be Mavdol. And the Mishnah said, what would be if he was Mavdol by the Chatasoy, or if he wasn't Mavdol by the Oilasoy? So the Mishnah was very clear. The Mishnah says it's going to be possible. Zokta Gemara, Masnisin, the like Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. Our Mishnah that says that the laws of Havdalah are ma'akev in the hakrava of the chatas oif and the oilas oif, meaning if you get it wrong, it renders the oif possible. That's the like Rabbi Elazar Shimon. The Tanya Amar Elazar Shimon Shamati. I heard shemavdilim bechatas oif. Now he didn't hear that likatchila you're allowed to be mavdil by chatas oif, because the Torah says v'lo yavdil. What he heard was is that it's okay that if you're mavdil by chatas oif, zebeseder, it's fine. The carbon doesn't become possible. Meaning it's not ma'akiv. So our Mishnah that says it's ma'akiv is the like Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Zok to Gemara, my benai. What's the nafkamina between the Tanakam and Reb Shimon? And Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. Why is Tanakam hold that Havdalah is ma'akiv? Elazar Reb Shimon says it's not ma'akiv. The Gemara is going to give three nafkaminas that are going to take us to the bottom of the yomim. My benai, Omer of Chizdo, mitzui chatas ha'oif, ma'akiv, ikke benai. You know what machloikis is? A whole different machloikis. Machloikis is the mitzui that was done with chatas ha'oif. So by the chatas ha'oif, there was Malika. Then there was Hazah, and after the Hazah, there was Mitzoy. So we said the Mitzoy was really the equivalent of the Shvich HaShirai, right? Where was the Mitzoy done? By the Yisoid. So it was really very similar to the Shvich HaShirai. And the Shaila is, as a result, is the Mitzoy of the Chatas Ha'if Ma'akiv, or is the Mitzoy of the Chatas Ha'if not Ma'akiv? If it's similar to Shvich HaShirayim, Shirayim loy ma'akvi. So it makes sense it shouldn't be ma'akiv. Or maybe no, maybe Mitzu is different than Shvich HaShirayim. Maybe it is ma'akiv. And it's a machloikis. Tainit Rav Chizda, this machloikis, where the laws of Yavdol and Lo Yavdol and ma'akiv by the Chatas and Lo'ilas Oif, is really totally in this shayla. Tanakama Sovar, the Tanakama holds Mitzu, Chatas Oif ma'akiv. V'kivon the Mitzu da ma'akiv. So being that Mitzu is ma'akiv, so when the Kohen brings the Chatas Oif, he's going to have to do Mitzu because it's ma'akiv. Ka'ovid ma'isoil b'chatas Oif. So it's going to come out that if he's going to be mavdol both simonim, he's like bringing an oila, because he's being mavdol both simonim like an oila, and he's doing mitzui like an oila. Right? What are the two unique characteristics of the hakrov of an oila? Number one, you mavdol both simonim when you do the malika, and number two, you do mitzui as opposed to the chatas. We only mavdol one simon. You do hazah, and maybe you do mitzui. But if you're going to do now the malika of a chatas by being mavdol both simonim, so you're doing the oila diga malika, and now if you hold mitzui is ma'akiv by the chatas ha'if, you're going to end up doing the mitzui also. So it's going to come out, you mamish did everything that you're supposed to do with an oila, and that's a problem. You want to know why the Tanakama, why the Tan of our Mishnah holds that if you're mavdol both simonim, it's an issue. It's not because there's something wrong with being mavdol both simonim. That's not the nekuda. The nekuda is that when you bring a chatas, you can't do maisa oila. And when you bring an oila, you can't do maisa chatas. And if you're being mavdol both simonim, and you're inevitably going to do mitzui, because the Tanakama holds mitzui is ma'akiv, so it's going to come out. It's mamish and oila. Rav Elazar Reb Shimon says mitzui chatas oif lei ma'akiv. He holds mitzui chatas oif is not ma'akiv. As a result, you don't have to do the mitzui. Oh, if you don't have to do the mitzui, just because you were meilek both simonim doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do a ma'isa oila. Because it would only be a ma'isa oila if you did mitzui. You know what we're going to tell this yid to do? Don't do the mitzui, which is a chiddush. You're telling him katchila not to do the mitzui. But being that it's not ma'akiv, he doesn't have to do the mitzui. Comes out of mechatech basav almo. So when he cut that second simon, he just like cut a little bit of meat. It's not necessarily a ma'isa oila. That's why it's going to be kosher. Meaning the reason why it should be possible if you're mavdol both simonim by chatas is not because there's something inherently wrong with being mavdol the second simon. The reason it would be possible is because it's going to come out you're doing a ma'isa oila, but you're only going to be doing a ma'isa oila if you're going to fear ice like an oila. So if mitzvah is ma'akiv, you're fearing ice like an oila. But if mitzvah is not ma'akiv, it's not muchach that you're going to fear ice like an oila. Rabbi went with the same methodology, but he said a little differently. Shia besimin sheni ba'oila soif ikenai. The shaila is an oila soif, they were ma'abdu both simonim. And there's a shaila whether you're allowed to be shaya, you're allowed to pause a little bit between the shchita both simonim. Now Rashi speaks out very lengthy, that by Shechitas Chulin, the halacha is you're not allowed to be shoya between the two simanim. So when you're shechting, even Chulin, you have to do it in like Beneshima Achas, or whatever the shir is. But you're not allowed to be shoya. You're not allowed to wait. You're not allowed to pause too long. The shayla is an oila that requires Malikas Beis Simanim, an oila saif. Are you allowed to be shoya or not? What are the two tzadim? On the one hand, anytime there's a halacha of Beis Simanim, you can't be shoya. But then again, says Rashi, here it's a little different. Because the halacha is that when you shecht an oif that's chulin, you only have to shecht one simen. Meaning, there's a nafkamina between the purpose of shechting the second simen by a behemoth chulin versus the malika of the second simen when you're bringing an oiva. The shechit of the second simen when you're bringing a behemoth chulin is part of the chiyus of the animal. You need to shecht both simonim in order to render that this animal's dead so that it should be considered a ma'isa shechit. It's for that reason you can't have shia. But by an oila, being that you find by oifis of chulin, the halacha is you only need to shecht one simon. So you see, it's pasak chiyus with one simon. So why are you doing the second one? And it's a din that you're supposed to do the second one, but it's not part of killing it. Being that it's not part of killing it, could be there's no problem with Shia. But either way, said Rav, it could be the Shia over here is Shia b'simin simin sheni ba'ila sa'if. It could be an akhana kamasov as Shia b'simin sheni ba'ila sa'if. Lo'i pas va'af al-gaf de Shia, so that even though he did Shia ka'ovin ma'isa oil b'chatas. For Lazar Rav Shimon Sovar pasla, it is pasla, v'kivan de Shia, being that he was Mishaya, m'chatech pasla ba'amu. So, what happened was, after the Kohen did Shechita Simen Echad with the Chatas Oif, he would remove a lot of the bossa from the animal. That was the next thing that he would do. And the Gemara assumes that even in the case that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Tanakhama are arguing about, and that is when the person, the Kohen bringing the Chatas Oif, ended up doing Malika with the second Simen, he probably, after he did the first simon, did what he was supposed to do. He removed this, what the Gemara refers to as roiv ha-basar. He took a lot of basar out. If that's the case, it comes out he was shoya between the two simonim. So, if the whole problem of doing the second simon by chata sa'if is because you're doing a ma'isa oila, so you have to ask yourself, did he really do a ma'isa oila? Because he was shoya. So if shia is ma'akev, so it comes out you didn't do a ma'isayla. If she is not ma'akev, it comes out he did do a ma'isayla. The whole side that should be a problem is ma'isayla. So what it boils down to is she a ma'akev or she a not ma'akev. Abayi said a little bit differently. Right, boss, ma'akev, give me an eye. You know what the shayla is? Everybody holds she is ma'akev. And everybody holds that Mitzui is Ma'akiv. The Shiloh here is something else. The Shiloh is, do you have to take out the Roy Basar? If taking out the Roy Basar is Ma'akiv, so it's going to come out, you're not doing a Ma'isa Oilah. Because even in the case where you did both Simon and Bayachatas, you had to take out the Roy Basar, which constitutes a Shia. So it comes out, it's not a Ma'isa Oilah. If it's not a Ma'isa Oilah, it's not going to be possible. But if you hold that Roy Basar is not Ma'akiv, then it will be possible. That's the Gemara, that this whole discussion amongst Am Iran, exactly what the beer in the Machlekes Tanam is really betuk to the Rab Zera, for Rab Shmuel Bar Rav Yitz. But really, principally, what it boils down to is the machloikus is not a machloikus. Could you make the second havdal? Could you not? That's not the point. The point is you can't bring a chatas like an oila. So if it's going to be doima to an oila by being mavdal simen sheni, that's when you run into issues. If it's not going to be doima to oila, then you're not going to have an issue. But the Gemara says, everybody holds that after the kohen did the malika, Simen echad by a chata sa'if, he would remove this roiv basar. Is that true? So the Gemara is in. Yes, indeed. V'atanya, and it's a brisa. Keitz amol kechata sa'if. How do you do malik with chata sa'if? Chaytech shedra umefarekes b'loy roiv basar. So first day would be chaytech the shedra, the spinal cord. I'm sorry. Umefarekes b'loy roiv basar. Ache megi leveshetay lekana. Megi leveshetay lekana. Chaytech simen echad erubai. The roiv basar imay, they would take out roiv basar, uba oila shnayim, oiroi shnayim. And Hanami, so if you go through the brises that discuss exactly how the malika was done, they would take out roiv of the basar. Amruk, I made Rabbi Yirmiya, so this entire exchange, the entire daf samachay amid beis, was related to Rabbi Yirmiya. Amar, so Rabbi Yirmiya said, loy shmi aluhud, ada amar Rabbi Shim ben al-Yakin, mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Padas, mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. I don't understand this whole tumult amongst Amiram. We're all trying to figure out what exactly pshat in Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon is, who holds that even though it says in the Torah lo yavdu by the chata sa'if, but still if you would be mavdu both simanim by the chata sa'if, it would be kosher. Shouldn't the Amirah not know that Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon himself used to explain his pshat? he used to say, Shamati, I heard, that even though it says in the Torah, lo yavdol, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to be mavdol. If you want to be mavdol, you could be mavdol. What then does lo yavdol mean? Umay lo yavdol, in tzorech lahavdol. What it means is you don't have to be mavdol. But at the same time, if you want to be mavdol, you can't. And it's for that reason, Rav Shimon holds, that if you are mavdol both simonim by the chatas oif, it's going to be kosher. Had the Torah said lo yavdol, you're not allowed to be mavdol, then it could be enochinami. It could be Rav Shimon would agree to the chachamim. He would say that if you mavdol both simonim, it in fact would be possible. But the reason Rav Shimon holds that if you mavdol both simonim, it's kosher, is because he holds the Torah never said you can't be mavdol. It says lo yavdol, not lo yavdol, you're not allowed to be mavdol, but rather lo yavdol ain't tzorech lahavdol. But if you want to, you can. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Acha Brei Rav the Ravashi, and this is where Bava Kama meets Vachem. If that's true, if lo yavdol according to Rav Shimon doesn't mean you're not allowed to be mavdol, it just means you don't have to. But if you'd like to, you could. Gabi bar dechsev by the mazik of bar, one of the arba of his nizikin in Parshas Mishpatim, where it says in the Torah, v'chi yiftach ishbar, oy ki yichre ishbar, if somebody digs a bar in Rishus HaRabim, v'lo yichasenu, and he doesn't cover it, v'nafal shama shayra chamar. So the Torah continues and says, bala bar yishalim, kese yashav lebaila v'amesi yaloi. That's the mazik of bar that we're all familiar with from Masechtas Bava Kama. But Taina is the Gemara that ordinarily, how do you read the words v'lo yichasenu? Somebody dug a bar in Rishus HaRabim, he didn't cover it, meaning he was supposed to have covered it, and he violated his chiyuv, his obligation, to go ahead and cover it. But now the Rabbi Rav Shimon says that when the Torah says the word loy, it could mean sometimes ein tzarech, that maybe by bar it means the same thing. Is that what it means? Is the Torah saying that if somebody digs a bar b'shus harabim, you don't have to be mechasid? Says the Gemara, hachi hashta. It's not a tzushtel hasam over there. For sure, v'lo yichasenu doesn't mean ain't tzarech lechasis. Because given the chzeb ala bar yishalim, being that the Torah says that if somebody digs a bar and then the bar causes hezek, the balabar has to pay. From the fact that the Torah says balabar yishalim, that's the biggest raya in the world that v'lo yichasenu is an optional. That it's something that the balabar has to do. Because if he didn't have to be mechasa the bar, how could you suddenly obligate him now to pay if something happens to his bar? If the Torah is saying, v'lo yichasenu, you don't have to cover it, then he shouldn't be chayin if something happens. Elamai, from the fact that the Torah says balabar yishalim, that's a raya, that when it says v'lo yichasenu, it doesn't mean ain't tzarech lechasas. That's by v'lo yichasenu by bar. Aval hacha. But over here, as it relates to the lo yavdol that the Torah says by chatasa, here Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon felt that he had a raya that it meant not you're not allowed to be mavdol, but rather in tzarech lahavdol. Why? Because mech. It says v'hikrivoy. It says by the oilas oif, not by the chatas oif. V'hikrivoy. And we learn from there that chilek hakasam chatas oif loilas oif. That the Torah was mechalek between chatas oif and oilas oif, meaning that the chatas oif's malika and the oilas oif's malika has to be different. Lo yavdol lomali shma mino ain't tzarech lahavdol. That's how you know that lo yavdol is ain't tzarech lahavdol. If you take a look at Rashi, the last Rashi in the parak, it's a very long Rashi, and Rashi is not sure posh pshat what this gemara means. A very difficult gemara to understand posh pshat. The pshat that Rashi seems to like the most is that the gemara says in Masechtas Chulin that from the word vehikriva we learn that the chata sa'if and the oila sa'if, their malikos have to be different. An oila sa'if's malika, therefore, says the gemara, requires malikas beis simanim. Tainas, Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, bishloima if lo yavdol means ain't tzarech lahavdol. So then I understand if there's a contrast between the Chata Soif and the Oila Soif. By Chata Soif, the Torah says, ain't Tzarech Lahavdol. What does Oila Soif therefore have to be? Tzarech Lahavdol. And that's how I would know from the Hikrivoy that you have to be Mavdol, both Simonim, by the Oila Soif. But if Lo Yavdol means, thou shalt not be Mavdol, that you're not allowed to be Mavdol, then how do I know from the Hikrivoy that the Oila Soif needs to be Mavdol, both Simonim? All I know from the Hikrivoy is that the Oila Soif and the Chata Soif have to be different. If by the Chata Soif it's so extreme that the Torah says you're not allowed to be Mavdol, then maybe the chiluk between the Chata Soif and the Oila Soif is whether you have the lav. Meaning that by Oila Soif, you don't have the lav of Lo Yavdol. If you want to be Mavdol, you could be Mavdol. But Mehecha Teisa, you have to be Mavdol. If the Hikrivoy teaches me that by the Oyla Sa'if, you have to be Mavdol. It must be that by the Chata Sa'if, it's only one darga lower, which is Ein Tzorech Lahavdol. So if Chata Sa'if is Ein Tzorech Lahavdol, and Oyla Sa'if is different than Chata Sa'if, so I know Oyla Sa'if, Tzorech Lahavdol. But if by Chata Sa'if, it's not Ein Tzorech Lahavdol, but it's actually Osr Lahavdol, then the fact that I now know that the Oyla Sa'if is different than the Chata Sa'if would only allow me to pick it up one Madrega, and that is teach me that by Oyla Sa'if Ein Tzorech Lahavdol. From the fact that I know that by Oyla Sa'if, Tzorech Lahavdol, that's the raya that Chata Sa'if is not Lo Yavdol, that it's also Lahavdol, but rather that Chata Sa'if is actually Ein Tzorech Lahavdol. Again, a little bit of a confusing Gemara. Rashi already addresses that. Rashi's not happy with this Pshat either. None of the Pshatim really are Matim so much in the Lashon HaGemara, but either way, Tainis the Gemara that we had a whole Daf Samech Heyam Beis, a whole lengthy discussion amongst Samayram. What's Pshat and Shitas Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon? It says in the Torah, by the Chata Sa'if Lo Yavdol, means you can't cut both Simonim. Yet, Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon says that if you did cut both Simonim, no worries, it's okay. It wouldn't make the Chata Sa'if possible. The question is, why not? If the Torah says Lo Yavdol, Asa Lahavdol, shouldn't it mean that if you want Mavdol both Simonim, the carbon is going to be possible? And the Gemara had different Pshatim from different Amayron, said Rabbi Yirmiyah that it's a Chiddush, it's very surprising to me, the Amayron that we're discussing and debating what exactly Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon meant, obviously didn't know that Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon himself had explained this Shita. And the Pshat of Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon is because he holds that when it says in the Torah, Lo Yavdol, it doesn't mean it's also Lahavdol. What it means is Ein Tzorech Lahavdol. The Torah never said you can't be Mavdol. If the Torah never said you can't be Mavdol, then Mehechatesi, if you're Mavdol, it should be possible. To the contrary, Mavdilin, you want to do it, you can do it. The Torah just says it's not required. By an Oyla Sa'if, it's required. By the Chata Sa'if, it's not required. If you do it, that's okay. Not a reason for it to be possible. If it's an Isser, that would be a reason that if you do it, it should be possible. But it's not something that's awesome. It's interesting that when the Gemara introduced what Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon himself said to explain the Shita, that when it says in the Torah, Layavdol, it doesn't mean it's also Lahavdol, but rather what it means is Ein Tzorech Lahavdol, says the Gemara, if that's the case, I have another place in the Torah where it says Loy, Loy Yechasenu by the Mazik Gavar, and maybe read the Pasuk the same way there. That when it says V'Loy Yechasenu, what the Torah means is Ein Tzorech Lechasos. That you dig a bar, but don't worry about it, you can leave it there. Ein Tzorech Lechasos. Tosfos says, is that the only other place in the Torah where it says Loy? What about Loy Silba Shatnes? What about Loy Seichal Chazer? What about all the many places that the Torah says the word Loy? Loy Yechaset is the one place in the Torah where it says the word Loy. Aha. Maybe when it says Loy Silba Shatnes, it means you don't have to wear Shatnes. But if you want it, Daf Nish Essen Chazer. Of the Vil Starada. Go. No worries. How do you know that all those other lies in the Torah mean thou shall not? Maybe they also mean Ein Tzorech. The only kasha the Gemara had was, is that if you're opening up the word loy for interpretation, and you're willing to be open-minded about what loy could mean, what about loy yechasen? Oh, that's the one loy. I mean, the Seres HaDibros itself has how many loys? As I frame Tosfos Akasha. So Tosfos says, because that's poshet, that the Gemara knew that when it says in the Torah, for example, loy sirtzach, loy signoy, loy sinav, obviously what the Torah is telling you is that thou shall not do those things. The Torah is not saying, loy signoy, you don't have to steal. It doesn't make any sense. Why would, first of all, it doesn't make sense, but besides for that, why would the Torah have to tell you that? Obviously, if the Torah is introducing the halacha regarding Geneva, and the Torah says loy, what it must mean is an iser. You shall not do it. And every other loy in the Torah would conform with that same svara, that obviously, it's just based on the context, it's obvious that what the Torah wants to do is the Torah is telling you that thou shall not do this. Stating that, Loy Yechasenu is a little bit ambiguous. Because by Loy Yechasenu, it could be that when the Torah says Loy Yechasenu, it means Ein Tzorech Lechasos, or it could be to the contrary. Loy Yechasenu is telling me that really the person was supposed to have covered the bar. He did not cover the bar, and as a result, Bala Bar Yishalim. The same is true by Loy Yavdol. When the Torah says Chatasayf Loy Yavdol, the second simon, is the Torah saying you are not allowed to be Mavdol the second Simon? Or maybe the Torah means Ein Tzorech Lahavdol. I can hear it both ways. Tosfos says the only two lois in the entire Torah where I could hear that maybe it means Ein Tzorech or maybe it means thou shalt not are Lo Yavdol and Lo Yechasenu. Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon said this Chiddush by Lo Yavdol, and therefore the Gemara scanned the entire Torah Shebik Sav and said, I have another example where it's open for interpretation, and if you're going to say Ein Tzorech by Lo Yavdol, maybe say Ein Tzorech by Lo Yechasenu. But all the other lois in the Torah, it's very obvious based on the context that what the Torah means to say is that thou shalt not do it, not Ein Tzorech. What? Ein Tzorech to steal, and Ein Tzorech to be a Reitzeach, and Ein Tzorech to wear Shatnez. doesn't make sense. And as a result, it was pashut, and that's why the Gemara only found one direct parallel, one equivalent thereof to Layavdu, and that is when it says in the Torah, Lo Yechasenu. That's Tosfos. Now a little bit of Lamedus. That is that the Gemara says, how do I know that Lo Yechasenu means you have to be Mechasa the bar, as opposed to Ein Tzarech Lechasis? So the Gemara said, Hachi Ashto, Hasam, given the Chsiv Bala Bar Yishaleh, being that it says in the Torah that the Bala Bar is responsible to pay, therefore it's obvious that he has an obligation to be Mechasa the bar. Because if when the Torah says Lo Yechasenu, it means Ein Tzarech Lechasis, if that would be what the Torah meant, you can't now expect the Balabar to have an obligation to pay. If the Balabar has to pay, obviously he had a chiyuv to be mechasa the bar. Because if the Torah said he doesn't have to cover the bar, you can't now impose upon him an obligation to pay. Chaim Kanievsky wrote a sefer Siach Hasada. It's a commentary on Shas. And on Zvachim Daf Samach Vavam and Aleph, Reb Chaim says a major lumbus. So you do it in yeshiva, when you sit down and you learn Masechtas Bava Kama, so the psicha shir in yeshiva, they introduce you to the chakira hayadua. It's the chakira with the hey hayadia that permeates the entire beginning of Masechtas Bava Kama. That is, Masechtas Bava Kama begins arba avos nezikin, hashar, vahabar, vahamava, vahever. And the underlying principle is, it's just like a person is responsible for his own actions, a person is responsible for the actions of his mamon as well. So if you own a shar and the shar damages, you're chayev. You light a fire and the fire damages, you're chayev. If you dig a bar and the bar damages, you're going to be chayev. It's what's called niske mamon, and that is the first mishnah, really the first half of Masechtas Bava Kama. Klert the oilam hayeshiva in lumdus, in mechanics. What's the pshat that a person is responsible when his mamon damages? Is the pshat that a person has a responsibility to watch his mamon? If I own a shor, I have a responsibility to watch my shor. If I light a fire, I have a responsibility to watch my fire. If I dig a bar, I have a responsibility to watch my bar. If I didn't watch it and it was mazik, I now have to pay. The reason I have to pay is because I did not watch something I was supposed to watch. The way they say it is the ishmira is the mechayev. The fact that I didn't watch something that was incumbent upon me to watch, that's the reason I'm chayev. Or is the pshat more simple? My mamon, my possessions are like yodei arichta. It's like an extension of me. And just like I'm chayev for what I do, I'm chayev for what my mamon does. Now, if I would watch my mamon and then my mamon would be mazik, I would be potter. Because oinus rachmana patre, the Torah is not going to make you responsible for something that was out of your control. Even though when a person's mazik, adam u'd l'aylam, ben shayki, ben mezit, ben oinus, ben rotzen, that chiddush you don't have by niske mamon. So if I watched my mamon, I'm going to be potter because of oinus rachmana patre. So I'm only going to be chayev when I didn't watch. But the reason I'm chayev when my mamon is mazik and I was not watching my mamon is not because I didn't watch. It's more simple, because my mamon was mazik. And if your mamon is mazik, you're going to be chayv. And there's a lot of nafkaminas, yeshivish and nafkaminas in this chakir. Says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, bishloima, if the pshat is that the reason a person's chayv in Bava Kama, finiske mamon, is because he had an obligation to watch, and being that he violated his chiyuv shmira, it's that's mechayev him. I understand this Gemara. The Gemara said that maybe v'lo yichasenu means ain't tzarech lechasis. If Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon said lo yavdol, that it says by chatas ha'oif means ain't tzarech lehavdol, then maybe when it says v'lo yichasenu, it means ain't tzarech lechasis. Tainas the Gemara, how could you tell me ain't tzarech lechasis? Ain't tzarech lechasis means that he's not obligated to watch his bar. The Torah says that the Baal HaBar is chayev. So if the Torah says the Baal HaBar is chayev, doesn't that mean that he has a chiyuv shmira? Says Rabbi Chaim, one second. If the tzad the chakira hayadua, that's richtig, is the tzad that the reason you have a chiyuv niske mamon is a direct result of your chiyuv shmira. So the Gemara is saying gishmak. The Gemara is saying if there is a chiyuv mamon, must be there's a chiyuv shmira. Must be that v'lo yichasenu doesn't mean ain't tzarech lechasos, because that by definition would mean you don't have to watch it. And if you don't have to watch it, there's no chiyuv shmira. How could there be a chiyuv mamon? So from the fact that the Torah says balabar yishalim, that's a raya that there's a chiyuv shmira, and lo yechasenu doesn't mean ain't tzarech lechasos. But if the chiyuv niske mamon has nothing to do with a chiyuv shmira that I violated, the reason you're chayiv in this game mamon is because your mamon was mazik. So maybe when it says in the Torah v'lo yechasenu, it means ain't tzarech lechasos. Really, I'm not obligated to watch. But at the same time, if the bar damages, I'm going to be chayiv. Why am I going to be chayiv? I didn't have a chiyuv shmira, because the chiyuv niske mamon has nothing to do with the chiyuv shmira. The chiyuv niske mamon has to do with the fact that it's my mamon, and if my mamon is mazik, now I'm going to be chayiv. Now it's true, had I watched it and it would have been mazik, I would have been potter, because you have an oinus rachmana patre. But who says that because Balabar Yishalem, that necessarily means that there's a Chiyuv Shmirah. Maybe there's no Chiyuv Shmirah. Maybe Lo Yichasenu Mizein Tzarech L'chasis. From the fact that the Gemara held checkmate, that Balabar Yishalem begets a Chiyuv Shmirah, that's a Raya, says Reb Chaim, that it must be that the way Niskei Mamon works is that I have a Chiyuv Shmirah, and when I violate my Chiyuv Shmirah, I am Chayim. Thus, if the Torah says Balabar Yishalim, it can't be that V'lo Yechasenu means Ein Tzarech L'chasis. That's the first Ara, a super lumbus. The second Ara, a little lighter, and that is, so the Gemara somehow is entertaining a possibility that when it says V'lo Yechasenu, maybe it means Ein Tzarech L'chasis. The Gemara says it can't be. You know why? Because it says Balabar Yishalim. We just spoke out the lumbus. If the Balabar is Chayim, must be that there's a Chiyuv Shmirah. But there's a moment in time in the Gemara, if you go through it in real time, with the Gemara, like, entertain the possibility that the Torah says, you dig a bar b'shus harabim, v'lo yichasenu, ein tzarech l'chasis. You don't have to watch it. To me, that's a tremendous tmiyah. We're all familiar with the passing of Parshas Kedoshim. It says in the Torah, v'lifnei iver, lo yisitei michshol, v'yareisa me'alekech ani Hashem. What does that mean? V'lifnei iver, if there's a blind person, don't put a michshol in front of him. Don't cause him to stumble. L'chura, a bar b'shus harabim, is a michshol lifneiver. People, when they walk into Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, right, the Gemara says above a comma, they don't look down on the floor, and as a result, that's why a bar b'shus harabim is a problem. This is not the proverbial bar b'shus harabim, this is the literal bar b'shus harabim. So how could there be a havamina that when the Torah says, ki yiftach ish bar, ki yichir ish bar, lo yichasenu ein tzarech l'chasis, wouldn't that be a blatant stira to another pasuk in the Torah, in Parashas Kedoshim, where the pasuk says, v'lifneiver lo yisitei michshol, v'yareisa me'alekecha ani Hashem. So the truth is that really, I think in order to answer this kasha, we have to take a step backwards. And that is, if you take a look at Rashi on that pasuk, says Rashi, what does it mean, v'lifnei iver? We're not talking about a literal suma, but rather, lifnei hasuma b'davar. The Torah saying is if you meet a person, and the person comes to you, asks you advice, and he's a suma b'yisadavar, he doesn't know what I'm supposed to do. Rashi gives an example. He comes to you, he asks you, should I sell my sada or should I not sell my sada? And you know that really he shouldn't sell his sada, but you want to buy it. So you tell him, sell the sada. That's the lifnei iver loisitei michshol the Torah is referring to. We don't mean a literal iver, don't put something in front of him that's going to cause him to fall. We're talking about someone that's a suma b'davar, and you now give him an Eitzah She'enoi Hagenes. That's what the Torah means when it says V'lifnei iver loisitei michshol. The Kli Yakar says that I don't understand Rashi. Meaning, I agree, I understand what Rashi's saying. And Rashi seems to be saying that in V'lifnei iver loisitei michshol, beyond the literal pshat in the pasuk, there's an additional pshat. Meaning, the literal pshat, l'chura, would be don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. In addition to that, Zok the Torah, V'lifnei iver loisitei michshol, don't give a person an Eitzah She'enoi Hagenes. Incidentally, the Gemara takes it a step further. Right? The Gemara says that you can't give someone machalas asuros, don't hand a kais yayin lenazar, even menachai to a ben nayach, the sugi's in the beginning of the sechas avay dezar. But l'chura, that's all in addition to the pashup shah. The pashup shah of l'fnei ivel yisita michshol, you would think, ein mikri yaitse v'dei pshutai, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. It's afraid to kliyaka, why was Rashi might see the pashup shah? Why Rashi, who's always a person, he always gives the basic shah. So Rashi should have said, v'lifnei ivel yisita michshol, don't put a michshol in front of an ivel. That Rashi could have added. He could have said, chazal were meisif. In addition to that, there's also an idea, don't give a person eitzah she'enoi Hagenes. It's because iver doesn't mean dafka and iver. It means even a suma leisadavar. And by the way, don't give somebody machalas asuras. But Rashi seems to have jumped to the drush, and Rashi seems to have bypassed the pasuk pshat. I'm so afraid to kliyaka. Says the kliyaka, I'm going to tell you pshat. Because the pasuk concludes and says, v'yareisa me'alekecha ani Hashem. And Rashi says that wherever the Torah says the words v'yareisa me'alekecha, we're dealing with adavar hamasr lilibo shalotam. It's something that only you and Hashem know what's going on. Meaning, you may think that I'll be machshel people, and I'm not going to look bad. I could still be a shiny yid. I could still sit mizrach. I could still do all the things, all the perks that come along with being a shiny yid. I'm still going to get. I was just over a leisa saying the Torah. Who knows? I was over a leisa saying the Torah because I told him to sell the field. I thought it was the right thing to sell the field. It's a dover hamasal libe shalad malakadosh baruch. Anytime the Torah introduces a lav that the spectators don't necessarily realize is a lav, the Torah has to emphasize fear Hashem. Because over here there's no yiras b'nei adam. All it is, v'yiras melekecha. That's what the Torah says. And Rashi says over here, you know why the Torah said v'yiras melekecha? Like we just said, because who knows if you're really giving the person bad advice. Sokta kliyaka, that's how Rashi knew. That poshup shad on the pasuk is eitz hasheni agenes. And it's not don't put a michshol in front of an either. Because if poshup shad on the pasuk is don't put a michshol in front of an either, why is that v'yiras melekecha? If you go put a banana peel in front of a person, he's going to go flying. That's not v'yiras melekecha. Everybody realizes that you're doing something wrong. And the fact that the Torah says v'yiras melekecha, says the Kliyaka, Rashi knew that Hotshit pshat in the pasuk with neivah leisita michshol is not don't put a michshol in front of an iver. Rather, what it means is don't give a person an eitz hasheni agenes. That must be the pasuk pshat in the pasuk, and that's why the Torah says v'yareisam elekecha. Because if the pasuk pshat is what we think the pasuk pshat is, then the Torah would have never said v'yareisam elekecha. It's interesting if you look in the Chinuch and the Rambam, they don't bring the pasuk pshat. Nobody brings this pasuk pshat of v'lif neivah leisita michshol. Don't put a michshol in front of an iver. It's a kiddush. Pasuk, of course, the pasuk pshat is don't put a michshol in front of an iver. All the other lifnei ivers that you find in Shas are just the add-ons to the lifnei iver leisitim michshol. But from the Rishonim of the Mashma, like Rashi, this is the Pashup Shat. And how do we know this is the Pashup Shat? Because the Torah says v'yareisam elekecha. So Pashup Shat has to be something that's muscle elibay shel adam and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's how we know that stating that comes again Rameir Simcha in a classic Meshech Achma, and Rameir Simcha says that, I don't know if this is true, says Rameir Simcha, it could be that Avada, the Pashup Shad in the Pasuk Alif Na'iv Leisita Michshol is going to be true Lahalacha. I, Rashi, this is all add-ons. But as far as the Pashup Shat, he's not maskim, says Rameir Simcha, to walk away from all this raid and say that if somebody would put a literal michshol in front of an iver, he's not going to be over the lifnei iver leisita michshol. Says Rameir Simcha, and it's right here in Parshas Kedoshim, if that's the case, if somebody digs a barbishas a rabbin, he's going to be over the lifnei iver leisita michshol, because in lacha michshol lifnei iver, g'day l'mizu. The bottom line is, what comes out is if somebody digs a barbishas a rabbin, is he over lifnei? It's not so pashut. Before a Meir Simcha, I think you'd be able to make a very, very compelling argument that you're not. It says, but like we just said, it's not what means v'yareisam elekecha. Don't give an eitz hasheni agenes. Don't be machshu somebody with machalas asuris. It means a whole different idea. It doesn't necessarily mean don't put a michshol in front of somebody else. If that's the case, it's not a stira. The Gemara says lo yichasenu maybe means ein tzarich lechasis. We asked the kasha, how can it mean ein tzarich lechasis? What happened to v'lifnei iver leisita michshol? It's not for lifnei iver leisita michshol. One has nothing to do with the other. Kash is Rameh Simcha. Rameh Simcha, who said that I disagree. I hold that it's pashut, that if somebody digs a barbishus a rabbi, he'd be over lifnei iver leisita michshol. So luchura, a little bit of a aura on the Gemara, that if the Gemara is entertaining a tzad, that v'lo yichasenu means ein tzarich lechasos, the Gemara rejects it based on the lumdis, that if the balabar is chayev, must be there is a chayev shmir. Why can the Gemara say more pashut? How could you tell me ein tzarich lechasos? Ein tzarich lechasos means you can leave the bar there. The Torah says lifnei iver leisita michshol. Doesn't believe in the evil Sita Michel suggests that you're not allowed to leave it there either way. Zakti Gemara Vayta Mitzah Dam Hagov. So the Mishnah discussed exactly how Mitzah was done with an oil soy. And the Mishnah said it was done in two parts. First, they would do Mitzah with the guf of the oil, and then they would do Mitzah with the roish of the oil. The Mitzah that was done with the guf of the oil was ma'akiv. The Mitzah that was done with the Rosh of the Oila was not Makav. How do you know that? It's learned out from the following braisa. Tan Rabbanon, it says Oila who? In the context of Oila Sa'if. So from the fact that it says Oila, we learn Afal Pisha, Mitzah Dama, Gufa, Mitzah Dama, Rosh. Oila is a ribui that tells me that if you only did Mitzah with the Dama, Gufa, you didn't do Mitzah with the Dama, Rosh, it's considered a good Hakrova of the Oila. Yochel, Mitzah Dama, Rosh, Mitzah Dama, Gufa. I would think in the reverse as well. If you did Mitzah with the Dama, Rosh, but not Mitzah with the Dama, Gufa, it would also be okay. Tamalemer, who is always a miut. So we have a riboy and a miut. The riboy is marba if you only did mitzvah with the guf. The miut is mema'it if you only did mitzvah with the rosh. So mitzvah with the guf and not with the rosh is kosher. Mitzvah with the rosh and not with the guf is going to be possible. My Talmudah, how do you know which one to be marba, which one to be mema'it? When marba mitzvah with the guf, when mema'it mitzvah with the rosh, ef shefakeret, amar avina, mistabra, the rosh dava beguf shchichi. There's more dam in the guf of the oil than there is in the rosh of the oil. So says the Gemara, it just makes sense that if one of the two are ma'akiv, the one that has more dam is probably the one that's ma'akiv. The one that has less dam is not ma'akiv. Hadran aloch kodshe kidoshim.